CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always do. Every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical perspective. What we hear in church on Sunday, is it even in the Bible at all? And I'll tell you, friends, so much of it isn't anymore. Man, when you look at the internet, I am just amazed at the ideas that people have trying to pass it off is some kind of biblical theology. I mean, it's pretty scary, really. And so we want to be about our daddy's business. And that's what we do here on the program more than anything else. We just take this time to encourage you in your faith. What's true? What's real? The Bible says these things are the things we're to hold on to. Oh, friends, there's so much fluff out there in the world that we can be grasping at straws over, which really mean nothing in eternity. So what manner of people then should we be? You know, God has put eternity in our hearts. Isn't that a great thing? To think about life beyond this life. I think even non-saved people think about that. I think this is why people get into the cults. I mean, even in the occult, they believe in life after death. So this idea of, well, when you're dead, you're dead. There's no consequences for the life we lived or reward. Then I've got to say, well, wait a minute, then what's the purpose for living? And so these are the problems that we find, and this is where philosophy comes in, oftentimes guiding people in college and high school mentalities of, then what's the purpose of life? Well, is it just party on, dude? Or is it, well, it's all mapped out, I can't do anything about it, so I just have to learn to accept it. Well, neither of those are true. Because when you add God in any situation, everything changes. If you want to be part of the program today, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. We have with us Joe Jackson from Sure Foundation Fellowship in Kiau, Hawaii, located on Highway 130, just south of Hilo, about 12 miles. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, Pastor Mike. It's great to be on the show with you today. And I always look forward to just, you know, spending time with you and then being able to answer questions that people may have about God's word. And even as you were sharing there, Pastor Mike, you know, it's so awesome that we believers who've placed faith in Christ have a promise, which is heaven. And, you know, I can't wait to get there because heaven is a wonderful place where we get to worship God in his presence. And just even thinking about eternity, just as heaven is real, hell is a real place as well. And the idea that God doesn't send people to hell because he's a mean or angry God, but rather people choose to go there by not accepting Christ on this side of eternity. And that's the promise we believers have, that we've placed faith in Christ and in the work he did on the cross. And because of that, heaven is now our home. Even as I look at our world and just creation, it's amazing to think that God created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And then later in the New Testament, Jesus says that I'm going away to prepare a place for you, to his disciples. Well, he said that almost 2,000 years ago. And so if this beautiful world we live in was made in just 6 days, and for the last 2,000 years, he's been preparing a place for us, man, heaven is a beautiful place. And so it's great to be on the show with you, Pastor Mike.
Yeah, it reminds me of that old song, you know, heaven's a beautiful place filled with God's glory and grace.
Yeah.
I want to see my Savior's face. So, yeah. The word's something like that anyway. But
right.
Again, 8888-ASK-CSN if you want to be part of the program. You know, Joe, what's going on at Sure Foundation Church this week?
So we've been in a message series we started called Back to School. And we're kind of looking at the basics of Christianity, but we're learning that the plain things are the main things, and the main things are the plain things. And so we actually did math class. And so how do you do math class? Well, we talked about the fact that God subtracts sin from our life, that when we add, surrender, God does great things in us, that God can multiply what we surrender to him, and that God will even divide distractions in our life. In fact, you know, just to share on air, I called you this week, Pastor Mike, to get a little help with my message. But in the message, I was looking at different dispensations and talking about how there was a time in the Old Testament where God used Moses to give the law to Israel. And somehow people think today that now that we're in a place and a dispensation of grace, that you just throw the law out, but that's not true at all. And I hit on the idea that grace is actually a higher standard. In the Old Testament, God says, don't commit adultery. But as Jesus is getting ready to usher in this new dispensation, he says, if you even look with lust at someone, you've committed adultery in your heart. In the Old Testament, it says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But in the New Testament, Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other. And so I hit on the thought that grace is not just a forgiveness of a sins, and grace doesn't lower God's standards, but grace actually lifts us to a higher standard. Because of God's great grace, I want to live a life that honors him and pleases him. I want to live a life of obedience.
Amen. And because again, part of our Christian experience is to be about our Father's business. Dad, what do you want me to do? I think that's a great thing when we say, you know, Daddy, what do you want me to do for you? You know, we're his hands, we're his feet. And right. And that's what God really wants is to, and then when he sends us out on a mission, and he does by opening and closing doors, when he sends us out on what he wants us to do, well, what's really cool then, that's where the miracles are. That's where the power of God is at. And so people that say, well, the miracles ceased with the apostles. No, they didn't. They're still here today. We still serve a miracle-working God. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Miracles did not start in Acts chapter 2, friends. Miracles are all the way through the Bible. The only difference is God now lets all of us jump in on that miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit to promote his kingdom. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. We got somebody here that has, here's a question, a statement from Lori from Alaska. Which book in the Bible is a good place to start for a new Christian? I've been working with my sister and she just came to the Lord. I always tell people the book of Luke or the book of John are both excellent books. I like to tell people start in John chapter 3 and just read, because you're going to get right to the salvation message. And then God builds on that salvation message through the book of John. In fact, the book of John says, these things are written that you might believe in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you need to know when you first become born again. So I would say start in John chapter 3 and read the entire book. Always a good place to be. Any last thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I always say it's okay to start small, but at least start. Even 5 minutes a day is better than none. And to pick a plan, like you're saying, Pastor Mike, start there in John chapter 3, read all the way through. And then I always encourage people to pray before they read. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you as you're reading. Because the truth is, without the Holy Spirit in our life, the Bible is just a book. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it living and alive. And you start reading the Bible, it starts reading you when you have the Holy Spirit there. And then live what you learn as you read through. So just some tips there on Bible reading.
Amen. Amen. Well, to the phones we go. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. We have Maggie on the line in Las Vegas. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie. How may we help?
I'm inquiring about, like, if someone knows a different religion and doesn't know about God and they pass away, where do their souls go? Because, you know, like God says, or Jesus says, you only get to heaven through me.
Yes.
And if they don't know,
I believe, Maggie, they'll be judged according to their knowledge of him. You know, the Bible says, when you seek me, you'll find me, when you search for me with all your heart. Now, it does not say when you seek religion, You'll find religion when you search for it with all your heart. No, the Bible says, when you seek me, and I don't care what faith you're in, what religion you're in, or if you have no religion at all. If you, I believe, set out an endeavor to know the God who created everything. And the Bible says God has given every person a measure of faith. And so what we do with that measure of faith, in other words, when I see the natural order of things, I see the sunrise, I see the sunset, I see all these different things that go on, you have to come to a conclusion there has to be a creator. And again, even when they try to slush it away with some kind of an evolutionary idea, even that goes back to where did everything originally come from anyway? And I believe when we set out on a quest to know God, God will reveal himself to us. I've heard many, many stories about Muslims who really are want to know the true God, and God reveals himself in dreams. Now, again, that's not something unusual or something new. All the way through the Bible, you'll find people that were outside of faith, whether it be Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Chedorlaomer, all these different people in the Bible, God spoke to them in dreams. Now, I believe this is really important because I think when there's a quest to know God, I believe God has a way of getting his message to that person. And so I want to be careful to say that, oh, well, too bad about them. I believe God will hold a person accountable for what he knows of him. Now, it is true. There is no other name under heaven which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. And Jesus has a way of revealing himself or getting somebody to that individual who knows Christ. That's why I say in our testimony that we share all the time with people and we let our light shine. You don't know what that person may have been praying. God, if you're real, show me that. And, you know, Joe, I think about that lady that changed your life as you were on your way to a drug house to buy drugs. You being raised in a church home, you were a preacher's kid, rebelled against the Lord. You're on your way. And before you set out on your journey, God, if you're real, I want to know that you're real. And here comes this lady running out, crying, saying, I have a message from you for God. You tell the story. It happened to you.
Yeah. So as Pastor Mike mentioned, I was struggling with addiction. I was homeless because of my addiction. I wake up one morning after sleeping in the park and I'm heading to a drug dealer's house. And I'm just thinking of how I was raised as a pastor's kid, knowing the Lord. And I felt like because of the lifestyle I was living, that God no longer loved me and that he no longer had a plan for my life. And so over and over in my head, I'm rehearsing those thoughts that God doesn't love me and he doesn't have a plan for me. And as I'm thinking that thought, this lady comes running out of her house. She says, young man, I was praying for you. And as I saw you walking down the street, I was just praying. And I felt like God put it on my heart to come and tell you that he still loves you and he still has a plan for your life. And in that moment, my life was forever changed as God reached out to me in a practical way. And you know, that's what I believe, that God ensures that everyone has an opportunity to respond to the gospel. Now, of course, Jesus is the only way to salvation, but I believe that God may reach certain people and they don't explicitly know that name, but that God still reaches them in their way where they're at. Romans 2, I believe it's in verse 14, it begins, but it talks about people who do not have the law, but they still do what the law requires, showing that the law is written on their hearts. And then, of course, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says that the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I believe God's heart is he's always reaching out to people wherever they're at to give them an opportunity to respond to who he is and make him Lord of their life.
So a person that doesn't hear about the Lord, I believe they will be held accountable for what they know of God. And again, we do know one thing, God is fair, but we also know what his word says, that no one comes to the Father in John 14:6 except through Jesus Christ. And so I've got to stay to God's word on this. But I do also know that just as God revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar, to Pharaoh of Egypt in the dream concerning the seven fat cows and the seven skinny cows and the famine that was to come upon the whole world, I believe that God has a way of getting his message to someone that is seeking him. Hope that helps, Maggie.
It does. Thank you. So I'm assuming, I mean, I understand then from what you're saying that God will reveal himself to everyone. It's what they do with that. Is that correct?
Well, I believe that God will reveal himself to those who want God in their life, a true living God. The Bible says this, when you seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. I believe that's a promise from God. And so I believe that when a person really sets out to know God, I believe God will reveal himself to them. Now, I'm not saying just anybody that dies and, oh, no, you die outside of Christ, you're doomed. We're talking about somebody that maybe has never heard about Christ, but what do you know of God? And how did God reveal himself to you? And were you a real seeker of the kingdom, or were you just seeking religion or some other thing? I believe these are all really important parts of it, Maggie, but I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you so much for your time.
Maggie, God bless you. And keep reading. If you like, stay in line, send you out a little book called Time to Grow, and great to share with your friends. Let's go to Perry in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hello?
Hi, Perry. How can we help?
Hi, how are you doing? All right, so my question is, whenever we're at the thousand-year reign, when Christ rules for 1,000 years, a perfect world, and we as unbelievers are going to be ruling and reigning with him, but then it says after the 1,000 years that Satan's going to be released and for a time, and so does that mean that we're going to be in a perfect world with Jesus ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, and then when Satan's loose, Jesus and Satan and us are all going to be on the same earth, or do we go back to heaven for that?
No, this is all very good question, Perry. We're all on the earth together. We'll have our glorified bodies, and at the same time, there will be people living on this earth that made it through the tribulation period. The Bible tells us that. And not just because a person is living in the millennial reign of Christ means that he's a believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, they're going to be recipients of the blessings of God, living in a perfect world, perfect environment, perfect food, perfect climate, perfect everything. But are they serving God because they want to or because they have to? Well, the Bible says Satan is loosed at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And the Bible says, as sand is on the seashore, they come against Jesus and us as saints to make war. Now, unlike the Battle of Armageddon that ends the tribulation period, where the blood flows as high as the horse's bridle, this is a completely different thing. God gives the people of the earth a choice. And the Bible says that the devil goes out and literally seduces the nations. Now, does that mean every person? No. But it does mean those that really don't love God, that enjoyed the blessings of God. And I always use this illustration. When Jesus fed the 5,000 men, we don't know how many women and children were there with the loaves and fishes. All the people in the crowd received the blessing of the miracle. But they weren't in love with Jesus, because when Jesus said, unless you eat my body, drink my blood, you have no part of me. And instead of them sitting around and saying, well, hey, what did you mean by that? The Bible says they all left. You see, there's people that will enjoy the blessings of God during the millennial reign, just like there were people during Jesus' earthly ministry that they enjoyed the blessings of God. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. But that doesn't make them believers. And so Satan is loosed. He gives people a choice. And in that choice, it is amazing to me that living in a perfect world, they still will rebel against God, which shows what Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. It is not within us to live righteously. And so just living in a perfect world doesn't make you a Christian. Just knowing that Jesus is God and ruling and reigning as an example during the millennial reign from Jerusalem, doesn't make a person a believer in salvation in Jesus Christ. There's people today, the Bible says the demons believe and tremble. That doesn't mean they're right with God. So God gives the people who lived in this perfect world an opportunity to really choose him or not. And it's amazing to me that the Bible says the amount of people that rebel against the Lord after having everything perfect. It shows the depravity of man's heart. When you've lived in a perfect world, and then when given the choice, you'll rebel against the very hand that fed you, that gave you this perfect world. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so it is crazy to think that even after 1,000 years of peace under Christ's reign, that some will still rebel when Satan is released. But again, this shows that sin isn't just about our environment or circumstances, but it's really an issue of our hearts. That even in a perfect world without Satan's influence for 1,000 years, after this time, that some still choose to rebel when given the chance. And it really does demonstrate that humanity without full transformation can still choose evil, even in paradise. It reveals the true condition of the human's heart. And also, you know, with this rebellion happening and Satan being loose, it demonstrates God's ultimate justice, that Satan finally rebels, and it gives us a clear line between good and evil once and for all. It's the last test and the final revealing of what's in people's hearts. And so we know that after this millennial and after the judgment of Satan, that he's cast into the lake of fire. And then at this time, God creates a new heaven, a new earth, well, there'll be no more death, no more sin, and no more Satan. And so this even ushers in God's ultimate justice as Satan's released.
So I hope that answers it for you, Perry.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure, sure.
So the people, like, we're going to be in a new glorified body, and Jesus is going to be on earth, and Jesus is God. So the people are going to actually be able to see Jesus because he's going to be ruling, and they're going to be able to see us because we're going to be helping with our bodies. So are we going to be able to see Satan or see the demons around or whatever since we're going to be in that state?
Well, the devil and the demons are locked up for the majority of the millennial reign. And yes, I believe we're going to be very much aware of when this happens. But here's what I was going to tell you. Unlike the Battle of Armageddon, the blood is as high as the horse's bridle. Most people believe that's actually that it's such carnage, and the horses and the tanks and probably everything running over it splashes that high. I mean, it's going to be a mess. Unlike that, when the devil comes against the Lord with all these people with a word, that's all, just a word, they're destroyed. So it's not going to be, you know, a long bloody battle. No, just with a word, flashbang, they're done. And I believe that again, the books right after that, the books are open. Everybody's judged according to their deeds. All the people who live during the millennial reign of Christ, those that died in faith, those that died outside of faith, all those that died outside of faith, going clear back, I believe, to Cain and all. I believe they're all going to stand. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says the sea gave up the dead that were in it. People go, oh, is that talking about ships that sank? No, it's talking about those that died in the flood. They're going to stand in their accountability to God ultimately before all of eternity begins for the believer. Now, that's going to be really neat because we're going to go into a place prepared for the saints by God. And as you mentioned earlier, Joe, God's been working on it for 2,000 years, that we're going to go into this place where there's no end. There's no night. There's no end. It's kind of interesting. People say, well, why isn't there night there? Well, first of all, Jesus is the light. But I believe God has designed our bodies to be able to not need to sleep because there's so much to learn about God throughout all of eternity. We don't have time to sleep. It's going to be really great. And so, again, I believe that's why we find that. But those that died outside of faith, remember, Just because a person dies doesn't end their wickedness that they started. Think of the people that teach and know it, something's a lie. The cults, all these different things. Maybe there was only a couple dozen when the person died that he misled. Now there's millions. The judgment of God is coming. And that's why the immediate judgment, that's why the white throne judgment isn't the moment when you die. Because when a person dies, doesn't stop the ball they put in motion while they were here on this earth. Look at the Apostle Paul. His faithfulness to God, writing letters like Philippians from jail, encouraging Christians to keep on keeping on, that God's going to work it all through. Yeah. Man, that's faithfulness. And Paul's still getting rewards on that, I believe. See, what we do for God lasts forever. What we do as evil continues to rack up. And even though we die, we leave this earth, the wickedness that people set into motion, man, that's why you need to be born again. You need to have God lay an axe to that root of your past, the sins you can't erase. You know, there was a song by Randy Stonehill years ago, and the name of the song was "Keep Me Running from the Sins I Can't Erase." Hey, that's what people do. I think that's why they run to the bottle. I think that's why they run to the bong, because they're running. They know something's wrong. Some of them don't even know how to fix it, but God does. And will forgive us of not only the sins we've done today, but all those we've done in our past. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think you hit it right there. And it's just so good that, you know, in the end, we win and God creates this beautiful new heaven and new earth for us to reign and dwell with him. And again, it just really shows that without Christ, what's in our heart is not good, but with Christ, there's hope. And there's eternity.
Amen. Perry, I hope that answers it for you. And stay online. We'll send you out a little book called Time to Grow. We got more coming up to Every Man an Answer right after this. If you want to be part of the program, 8888. Ask CSN. We'll be right back.
When this mom ended a bad relationship, she found out she was pregnant. After the father told her to get an abortion, Julia was confused and didn't know what to do or who to talk to.
I just knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Julia was referred to a preborn network clinic where she was counseled and supported with the strength she needed to choose life.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it and it's going to be okay.
Preborn provides hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action to moms like Julia. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is...
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome me back to part two of Terry Man Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon. We have with us Joe Jackson from Sure Foundation Church, Kiau, Hawaii, just south of Hilo, Hawaii. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, in Twin Falls, Idaho. What are you teaching on this Sunday?
So this Sunday, we actually have our founding pastor sharing, and we've already kind of talked about it, but he's going to talk about the ABCs of our faith. And the idea that as we trust God and we see God work in our life, it does grow our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so as we hear God's word, as we see God's faithfulness in our life, it really builds our faith in him.
ABCs, always believe in Christ. Okay, amen. It works. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. We have Thorgood on the line in Wisconsin. Hi and welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How may we help today?
Well, I've got two scriptures that I read, and okay, I can't really make heads or tails of both of them side by side.
All right.
I read, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me. And in another passage, I read, my people perish for lack of understanding. So as I'm trying to balance these two, I'm conflicted. Can you provide some clarification?
Sure. My people perish because of lack of knowledge, not on how a transistor works, but of what God says is acceptable, not acceptable to him. You see, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, there's destruction. And so what this is speaking of, when you know God's word, then you'll know what God expects from us. And see, this is why I believe it's so important that we know what is acceptable to God. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Again, knowledge of God's word. The Bible says in the last days, there'll be a famine, not for food, not for water, but for the word of God. And so even today, in the churches today, oftentimes you'll only hear a piece of a verse. You don't hear anything, even line upon line in a church anymore. It's, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, but they don't tell you when you're doing God's word. Otherwise, I could say, well, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, so let's go rob some banks this afternoon because the Bible says I can do all things. No, see, context is everything. And this is why my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Because again, that way that seems right to us is messed up. You see, when we fell in the garden, our communication with God got all jumbled up. And that's why you see the problems we see today. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah. So a key word in that verse about not leaning on your own understanding is not leaning on your own. It's your human understanding, but in all your ways, submit to him. Because we are called to seek understanding from God, but there's a difference between man's wisdom, man's knowledge, man's understanding, and God, who's all-knowing, his wisdom, his understanding. In fact, the Bible lets us know in Proverbs 4:5, just the very next chapter, that we can get wisdom and we can get understanding, and don't forget my words or turn for them. And so there's an understanding that we can receive from the Lord that goes beyond human understanding. You know, some things in God's kingdom doesn't make sense with human understanding. Like God says, the first will be the last. Well, with human understanding, that doesn't make sense. But in God's kingdom, it's when we have the heart of humility that God exalts those who are humble. And then all of a sudden, that makes sense. In God's kingdom, he says that the greatest among you will be the servant. Well, with human understanding, that doesn't make sense because we don't view a servant as great. We view the head or the king or the leader as someone that's great. But then Jesus shows us what it means to be a servant by laying down his life for us so that we can have eternity. And so in this verse, it's talking about not having a human understanding, but it is okay to gain an understanding that comes from heaven.
So I hope that answers it for you, Thor. Good?
It does. Thank you.
God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. Because again, getting God's wisdom is so important, rather than our own perception. You know, Jesus said, when you judge, judge a righteous judgment. And then he also said, don't judge according to the appearance of anything. Because again, why is that? Because sometimes things aren't the way they appear to be. And so again, understanding God's heart's different than ours, understanding God's forgiveness for a person that's wayward or sideways, I believe this is one of the things why it changes the way we react rather than operating on our own understanding, you know, the eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but rather extending mercy to that individual the way we would want somebody to extend mercy to us. Thorgood, if you like, stay online. Send you out a little book called Time to Grow. I think you'll enjoy it. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. Karen, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
How may we help?
My question is, my husband has a hard time accepting Christ, and his main hold up here is that he feels that it's unfair. It kind of ties into what you were speaking of earlier with not leaning into human understanding, but he's having a hard time understanding how if someone doesn't know Christ but was in general a good person would go to hell if they never met Christ. And if someone was a bad person and if they say they believe, and they'll be going to heaven. And also, if someone says they accept Christ but they continue to sin, do they still go to heaven or do they go to hell?
Well, the Bible says we will continue to sin after we accept Christ. This is why we find in 1 John, John, that beloved disciple, writes to us, calls us his little children. He says, little children, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You know, Paul, the closer he got to God, the more he realized he was a sinner, until finally he said, as sinners, I am chief. The more close you get to God, you recognize his righteousness and you recognize our filthiness. Not that we're out robbing banks or murdering people necessarily, but that we realize the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And we can begin to see in God's holiness, in retrospect, our sinfulness. I think this is why Paul said, as sinners, I am chief, because we understand that. Now, how does a good person, you know, why would an evil person get to go to heaven? Because it's forgiveness. And when we realize to God, all sin is sin. Here's the question. How many murders do you got to commit to be a murderer? Just one. How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Just one. How many things do you have to violate God's word? Sometimes just one. So to say, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else because I don't do what they do. No, but you do what you do. And see, that's the thing. See, Jesus talking to the Pharisees, them trying to justify their wicked behavior. He said, I tell you that if you even look upon a woman, as we started the program off, you've committed adultery. If you have lust in your heart. Well, see, I believe this is why when we get closer to God, God's refining process, we begin to really realize that though all sins are not a physical act, as Jesus said, they can be a physical, they can be an actual thought, that if we had the opportunity, we would act on it. And I believe this is why. And so when we see Jesus as an example, forgiving the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. I believe, first of all, God forgives anybody for anything they've done because we're all sinners. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And for your husband, yeah, he might not sin the way other people sin, but he sins in his way. And that's what separates us from God. But the good news is the antidote is the same for all. We come to Jesus. We say we're sorry. If there's fruits of repentance we need to do, I believe that's something we should do, not for us to be right with God, but to be right with our fellow man. Because Jesus said, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Love your neighbor as yourself. For upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. So I not only want to be right with God, but I want to be right with my fellow man. I don't want to have stolen something from somebody and say, well, hey, bro, forgive me. You know, I stole the stuff out of your car last week. Now, I got to tell you, you got some pretty nice stuff, and, well, I'm keeping it. That's not real forgiveness. That's the Bible says we bring fruits of repentance. We remember Nicodemus. He said, Lord, if I've wronged anybody, I'll pay him back fourfold. Now, they only were required to pay back two. He was willing to go twice the amount. Now I look at that and realize there are what's called fruits of repentance. Not earning it with God, because God immediately forgives us when we ask. But sometimes we need to fix things that have not been right towards our fellow person. And, you know, I'm always amazed sometimes when we do that, speaks louder of our personal relationship with God than when we oftentimes do all the preaching and Bible thumping and track laying and all that kind of stuff. I remember I was working in a body shop, and I was working on a very expensive car front bumper. I hit my hand with a hammer, blood splattered all over the place. I handed the bumper to one of the guys that was there kind of helping me. I said, here, hold on to this. I got to go wash my hand off. And he turned, when I turned around to go wash my hand, he drops it on the floor, and I cuss and swore at him. And then I went in, slammed the door in the bathroom, and God says, go say you're sorry. And I go, look, people swear around this shop all the time. I say one thing, and I have to go say I'm sorry. I ain't doing it. That's what I told God. And God says, go tell him you're sorry. I said, no. We got into a fight. Meanwhile, blood's running down the sink as my hand is mashed. And I just said, Lord, I'm not going to do it. And then I heard an icy silence. And it scared me so bad. I said, I'll go say I'm sorry. So I walked out with my hand wrapped in a towel. We didn't have any bandages big enough for this. I wrapped my hand in a towel, and I walked out, and I waited till everybody that was there heard me yell and swear at him. And then I yelled out, I said, hey, John, I'm sorry I cussed at you. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
And he was dumbfounded. Because like I said earlier, to God, everybody swears around here all the time, ain't no big deal. But when I did it, they all knowing that I love God, I wasn't a pastor then, but it wouldn't have made any difference. It was like they got smacked in the face with a wet fish. It was like, oh, that spoke more to them about my relationship with God than all the Jesus music I'd play in the background, all the tracks I'd leave around on the lunch table, you know, all the, you know, because it showed that I had a conscience, that I was sorry that I offended him. And so I think a lot of times when we say we're sorry, I think a lot of times that shows that we have a heart. So it isn't in the magnitude of the sin we do. It's, did you sin? And that's what we need to forgive. So your husband needs to realize he's just a sinner that needs to be saved by grace. And though maybe he's not murdered anybody, he sins in his own way. John, you know, Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what's challenging about the gospel for so many people is it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is that no one deserves heaven, not even the best people. You know, God's standard for heaven and for what he considers good and righteous, his standard there is Jesus. And we all fall short of that standard. None of us are as holy or as righteous as Jesus. And so because we all fall short, that means we all need grace in our lives. You know, people will often ask this question. They'll ask, well, why do bad things happen to good people? And then why do good things happen to bad people? Well, the truth is, there are no good people. The Bible lets us know whether we commit the worst sin or even a little sin, that we all have sin in our life, and that automatically disqualifies us. In fact, that word sin means to miss the mark, and we all miss the mark, which is Christ. And so salvation is not about fairness, but it's about mercy. Salvation's about grace, that God's grace isn't earned by time served, but it's given freely to all who receive it, even at the last minute. And you know, the beautiful thing too, Karen, about your husband is that it sounds like justice matters to him.
Yeah, and that's true.
Justice is important, but it's just an understanding that justice was served on the cross. That God didn't ignore sin in people's life. He doesn't ignore the evil that people does, but he decided to take it on himself while dying on the cross. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Of course, you know, with a deathbed confession, it has to be sincere. It has to truly be heartfelt. And even as you mentioned, Pastor Mike, the thief on the cross, he first acknowledges his sin, by saying, man, we deserve what we're getting. He recognizes, he acknowledges he had sin in his life. And then he simply says, remember me today in paradise. And Jesus says, you'll be with me in paradise today. And so this is the beauty of the gospel, that we all deserve hell because we all fall short. And the wage of our sin is death. But Jesus, here's justice, paid that wage by dying on the cross. And so it would be unjust if he had to die for our sins, and then we had to die in eternity for it as well. That's not justice. And so it's actually just that even that deathbed confession goes to heaven when they sincerely confess their sins and make Jesus their Lord. And so I hope that helps, Karen.
Karen, I do hope it helps for you.
Definitely does. Thank you so much.
Karen, I'll send you out a couple things. I'll send you out, do you have a DVD player still?
Yes, I actually do.
Okay, well, I'll send you a DVD called God of Wonders and a little book called Time to Grow. And maybe you can sit down, get Jasmine a pizza, sit down and watch this. It's not a talking head, but it's done something like you'd see National Geographic do, produce, that is really good about things that just could not happen. They had to be designed by God. And if God had a design for everything that he made, he's got a design for you and me and your husband as well, and to fulfill what God's called us to do. Send those out to you, okay?
Good. Thank you guys so much.
Karen, stay online. We'll get that out to you. Promise we don't send the God Squad to your house or endless barrage of begging for money letters. We do not do that. Never have done that. And we just want to get the gospel out to everybody we can as quickly as we can. So stay aligned, Karen. Thanks for the call. If you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to Pam in Arizona. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
Okay. I just wanted your opinion. I was told like two different times now in church that like 40 million people or 15 million have not heard the gospel in all the nations. And I'm wanting to know what you think of that because...
Well, I think that number is really low. I think it's more like 3.2 billion people haven't heard the gospel. Yeah. I mean, that's 40% of the world has not heard about Jesus. A lot of it's caused because of geographic problems, because of where they're at. A lot of times it's governmental restrictions that happen. A lot of times it's because of an existing religion that is so hostile to anything other than their particular faith. You know, we go in as Christians not to overthrow them. We go in there to say, hey, Jesus set you free. It isn't by works of righteousness that religions try to get you to do, but it's just simply receiving what God does. So no, the fields are white with harvest, everyone, as Jesus said. The laborers are few. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Pastor Mike. It's around 3 point something billion that probably haven't heard the gospel. Man, I was actually privileged one time on a missionary trip to the Philippines that we went back into this village, and it was totally secluded. Like, we had to hike miles to get back into this village. And I got to speak to the villagers, and I actually had two translators. So it's the first time I ever shared the gospel with two translators. So I would say something, the next guy would say it in Ilocano, and then the next guy would say it in their dialect in this village. And then they would look back at me, and I'd be like, wait, what did I just say? So it took me about 2 hours to preach a 5-minute sermon, but I got to actually share the gospel with these villagers that have never heard it before. And so, you know, I believe we as believers have a responsibility when we can to reach these people who haven't heard the gospel. But tragically, yeah, probably about 40-something percent of this world has not heard the message that transforms our life, the good news of the gospel.
Yeah, many of these places do not have internet. Many of these places are very primitive. Thank God for shortwave radio. There's several very good shortwave broadcasts that cover the world, but in many of these places, they don't even have radios. So this is one of the things that I really, my heart goes out to. And what's really, really quite wonderful about radio and even the radio you're listening to right now. It goes into troubled homes. It goes into homes where maybe the gospel is not welcome, or in cars of people driving home from work. You might be listening right now. You maybe you've never heard about that. As a matter of fact, God really loves you and wants to do something marvelous in your life. And, you know, what am I doing that's so important in my life that I can't set it aside and do what God wants me to do and get an eternal reward? Hey, listen, this is a pretty good deal, really, when you stop to think about it. So radio transcends the miles. It transcends the barriers. And that's why I'm very grateful for radio as we have, not only in America, because, you know, I've gotten two different calls. Not calls, but actually people that I've talked to in person that were going to kill themselves. One girl was going to drive off the canyon rim. We here in Twin Falls, we have this giant canyon. I mean, it's you know, 500 feet deep with almost straight walls going right straight down. She was going to drive off. And as she started the car to drive off the canyon rim, her radio defaulted to our station. And we had a song on the radio, Catch Me If I Fall, one of our worship songs. She broke into tears, listened to the next message about getting right with God, gave her life to God. She went on and married a Christian guy. They have a great time. That's how God works. See, it breaks the barriers. You know, and I just really want to say thank you, all of you that make CSN possible, because it goes where oftentimes we could never go. And certainly as we're on the internet as well, it's really important. But no, it's a pretty big number. The fields are white with harvest. Jesus said the labors are few. And I just want to encourage everybody, hey, be about your daddy's business. Great your reward in heaven. Hope that helps, fam.
Yeah, thank you very much. But in the tribulation, angels will be spreading the word, as well as 144,000.
Yes, they'll be going through the midst of heaven, right? telling people, don't take the mark of the beast. So I think this is very important, because the Bible says the gospel will be preached to the whole world, then the end will come. And I believe it's the end of man's futile efforts to govern himself, because we know the end is not really going to, after the tribulation, man will never govern himself again. They will be always governed by God or be eternally punished throughout all of eternity. So you got your choice, one or the other. But the Bible says it'll be preached to the whole world. And I believe this is in part what the 144,000 do, what the two witnesses in the streets of Jerusalem do, and then ultimately what the angels flying through the midst of heaven do, warning people, don't sell out. So hope that helps, fam.
Thank you.
God bless you. If you like, stay in line. I'll send you out a little book called 101 Last Days Prophecies, as well as a little book called Time to Grow. I think you'll enjoy that. With that, we'll go to David. Salinas, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I have some confusion on a couple of things. Supporting Israel and doing our best as Christians to support Israel, but what's going on to these people in Gaza, it's very troubling. And a lot of Israelis don't believe in what's going on either. I just want to know where we stand as Christians.
Well, remember, Hamas attacked Israel October 7th, a couple of years ago. Hamas, for everybody listening, please, they have never surrendered to Israel. They started a war, but the war's not over. They haven't surrendered. And so as the carnage continues, because the Palestinian people voted Hamas in as their government, always please everyone remember, there are consequences for ungodly government. And this is part of the problem. And it appears that Hamas doesn't care how many Palestinians die. They don't love the Palestinians. They've got one goal in mind. And this, I believe, is why we see the problems right now that we're seeing. Joe, we've only got about 30 seconds. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, and I know on many of Israel's attacks that they would actually warn where they were going to attack before they did, and that Hamas would not allow civilians to leave for political reasons so that they could go on the news and show all these civilians that died. And so you have one country attacks one, and Israel's actually defending itself.
Yeah. And again, no surrender from Hamas. And I think that's something we have to remember, because the American news media, part of the world news media, is extremely corrupt. Again, you start a war, hey, listen, surrender, and the war goes away. Hope that answers it for you. David, stay on the line. We'll get you fixed up with a few things. If that didn't answer, please call us back tomorrow. Thanks, Joe. God bless y'all. Good night.
Yes. To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.